This is the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald, where we exist to move church forward and have the conversations that every team needs to be having.
Hey everyone, I'm Brandon Stewart. Welcome back to the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. So excited that you're here today, that you found this space. Our goal, as always, here at the podcast is to have the conversations that every team needs to be having. And today we feel like we're onto something, a conversation that your team needs for this hour and for this day that we all find ourselves leading in. Hey, we love you. Those of you who consider yourself a part of our tribe, so thankful to have you in our world. However you're listening to this today, watching this today, why don't you go ahead, do yourself a favor, hit the subscribe button, plan to join us the first Tuesday of every month, as well as potentially for other bonus episodes during the month. We love bringing fresh content that just fuels your team toward health in the season that we're in. Today, I'm so excited. I got the chance to sit and talk with Pastor Kevin for a two-part conversation on growing as a leader. There is no doubt in my mind that the greatest barrier we're facing right now in the local church is a leadership barrier. We need more leaders and we need better leaders. And today we're just going to talk a little bit to the individual listening today and just challenge you to go to a new space in your leadership. Pastor Kevin has a lot of wisdom I think is going to help you today. So without further ado, here it is, my conversation with Pastor Kevin on growing as a leader. Pastor Kevin, I'm excited to be sitting down and talking with you today. A conversation I've heard you in various conversations and settings start to unpack. I'm just really excited to dive into this today. How are you doing today, first of all? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm doing great, Brandon. And likewise for me, we're going to talk on my favorite, maybe, topic. I do that with Bible verses, by the way, too. I always like, that's my favorite. And then I'm like, no, there's another one. But I think the topic we're going to talk about today, leadership, is way up there for me. I love to talk about this. And I'm excited with everything going on in the world right now to be talking about what I think is the main thing that we focus on right now, and that is leadership.
That's right. You know, we talk about a lot of things in this space over the course of a year, and yet we just felt today to come back to something that we believe will be essential in rebuilding in kind of this post-COVID era, you know, as we get there, and that is leadership. So today we're going to talk about growing as a leader. We're going to talk about kind of the genesis, the origin, the birthplace of a leader. What makes a leader a leader? And I pray today, if you're listening, first of all, that this helps you and this sets up a conversation for you to have with your team. Secondly, I really hope you won't listen to this alone. I hope that you'll grab some people around you or send this to someone right now, because I believe your entire team will benefit from the conversation we're going to have today. So PK, we're just looking to you, Coach K, to refocus us on leadership. And I'm going to tee up the ball with the first thought for us today and let you go for a minute. Our first thought on leadership today is this: leadership has nothing to do with titles and rank. Why don't you speak to us about that for a minute, PK?
Well, there's a lot of people that have title and positions of authority that are not actually leading the people that they're over. And then the same is true, is that there are a lot of people who don't have a title or a position that are actually leading people around them. And so most of us have heard this put, you know, in one way or the other, but it's one of those truths about leadership that can never go away or we can quit talking about. We have to continually be reminded that leadership is not about a title. It is not about a rank. It is not about even an education. I want to add that in, because I know in the Christian world, how many years of Bible school did you do? Can you speak Greek? Can you speak, you know, can you interpret the Bible? I mean, it's just all the different things get added that are actually not about leadership. And the newest convert in your church who doesn't know much about the Bible can actually be a great leader. So I think it's really important that we keep that front and center in our minds and in our lives, that leadership is basically a powerful influence that happens within the context of anywhere people gather, and that all of us have leadership potential and leadership ability within us.
Would you agree, PK, that at times we can be guilty of focusing on the wrong things and calling that leadership? And I guess I'd love to hear you keep unpacking this, because to me, I have this sneaking suspicion our target can be off. You know, we equate popularity with leadership, or we equate Instagram followers with leadership, or some other thing. But you're really focusing us on a different quality that is even separate than, you know, a specific title or position that someone's been given or something they may have sought along the way.
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I'll even go as far as to say that people who have a following in some of the realms that you've mentioned are actually being followed because of things that are attractive about them. Sure. And things that, you know, especially in pop culture, popularity that a person might have. And a lot of that is not decided by us. It's not within our power. Some people are just born handsome, born with charisma, born with certain kinds of, you know, things that are attractive. And what I'm wanting to point toward is that there are many more great leaders in the world of business and church who don't necessarily have the attraction mechanism or the popularity mechanism going for them, who are just killing it, like as a leader. I can't believe I said that. I'm sounding young today, like killing it. You guys have made me pick up these phrases, but you know, it's amazing how many good leaders. And when you, for example, I like to read books. I like to read books like Good to Great was a book that came out a few years ago that, you know, will always stay with me. The 7 Habits of an Effective Leader by Stephen Covey will always stay with me. And some of the things that are highlighted in books like that go back to these amazing leaders who walk in a room and they don't really have this appeal, this charisma, this, and yet they are leading thousands of people in corporate America. They're leading them forward. They're leading them ethically. They're leading them with integrity. They're leading them with character. You could go to founders of major organizations, chains. One that just comes to mind right now is Chick-fil-A. And just the understanding that an organization like that was built by a man who wasn't especially gifted in terms of those, you know, those attraction mechanisms. He was just a great leader. He was a wise man, studious, and was able to bring leadership at the level of impacting the nation.
That's right. And it is fascinating, because it's a very intangible quality. I guess, would you agree with this, PK? Would you agree, if leadership is not tied to position or rank and it's a bit more intangible, would you agree that any person in the organization, any person in your church can lead?
Absolutely. And that's really what this point is intended to do. It's to remove the barrier that a lot of people have in their mind about what leadership is, and to help people understand that it's not about the attraction. It's not about the education. It's not about, and by the way, I'm not saying that people won't be attracted. Let me go back on that a minute. Won't be attracted to you and identify you as a leader at some point. But the point that you don't have to be unusually handsome or qualified to be in Hollywood or have your name as a model. That's the thing that we got to get away from, because there is proof over and over again that people who don't have all of that natural stuff, you know, given to them, there's many more who are leading effectively because they have just recognized that they're not going to let those barriers hold them back. The idea that I have to have this rank or I have to have this title, nobody's ever given me a title to lead, or I have to have this education before I can lead, or I have to be this attraction thing before I can. When people remove those barriers, it opens up the potential. And God knows, Brandon, right now, our world has never needed good leadership like it needs it right now. At grassroots level, we need leaders of fives and tens and 20s to emerge in today's environment, especially in the church, and not leave leadership to a big platform or a title of a pastor, but just to realize we can all be effective leaders. Let's do it. Let's be great leaders.
Yes, yes, yes. I couldn't agree with that more. And maybe talk to you and I have said a version of this for a long time, but I think this season and the pandemic has accelerated this point. You and I have said some version for years that the greatest need that every church has is more leaders, you know, better leaders, a higher understanding of leadership. But would you agree that that's just been heightened and made more aware to us?
Yes.
This season.
Yes. So what I would say is, there's a couple of things, just practical things, is ask yourself this question from the church standpoint, your church, what is the greatest needs that you see? Is the morale low right now? Are people discouraged right now? Is there a level of disorganization that you're noticing and you're aware of? Even though the church is trying to get back, is there volunteers a need that there's not people volunteering? What is it that you can identify? That's the first question, because when you see a need and you begin to meet it, that's called leadership. When you say to a couple of friends, hey, the parking lot is pretty dreary these days. People are pulling in and parking. Let's go brighten it up. Let's start this week, guys. That's leadership. Whenever you say, you know what? I'm tired of people walking around feeling discouraged. I'm going to be an encourager. Anybody else want to help me? Let's make a commitment to just encourage our team, encourage our staff, and let's go hard at it 24/7. That's called leadership. The second thing that I would do is ask yourself, does my church have a pipeline for developing leadership? And you might have, we have something called LeadX at Champion Center. That would be like the first thing I would say to a person who would say, you know what? I want to help. I want to lead. What can I do? I'd say, go to Growth Track if you haven't been, and then go to LeadX. Like, get involved at ground floor, where you'll begin to sharpen the axe and you'll begin to identify the goals, the targets, and help lead forward. So those are the two things that I would just say to anyone who's listening and you're being prompted right now. Do those two things and you will immediately find yourself in a space of leading.
That's gold, PK, thank you. And you're reminding me, years ago, I was on our staff at Champion Center. I don't know if I was late 20s, and it was women's conference night number one. And I think like a shuttle driver had failed to show up or something like that. You know, it was a big event, or I don't remember the exact situation. All I remember is that like three or four of us guys went and found the staff member who oversaw the shuttle team. And we said, can we have the shuttle keys? Which was a very dangerous question, I guess, for a bunch of guys at the women's conference. And we just went out and we drove the shuttle around the parking lot and we picked up ladies and we drove them into, we had fun. And honestly, it was really memorable. Number one, we had a really good time doing it. I think we made some ladies' day. And I think the point was that we didn't hesitate. Yeah. And I remember that. I remember just kind of seeing a need and meeting it. And it wasn't in a job description. I certainly didn't oversee the shuttle team. God help us if I would have, you know, but it was just that moment of responding, which I guess leads me to this question for you, PK. What would you say to the person who is waiting to be asked to lead? They're there, they're feeling it, but they're waiting to be asked. What would you say to that person?
I would say, don't wait to be asked, go volunteer. There's a difference in, you know, there's personalities. You might could help me with this, Brandon, I'm not sure, but they're who they are, what they are by name or Enneagram or whatever. But there's boundaries. I know that, I mean, there's personalities that are very boundary oriented, and they're the most hesitant to move outside of those boundaries. I understand you don't want to step on toes. I understand you don't want to be intrusive. I get that. But can I just tell you today that there's a difference in stepping on toes and being intrusive and volunteering. Volunteering is what you did. Like when you grabbed when you went to the shuttle person over the team and said, hey, can I? You were asking for permission. Like, just give me permission. There's a need. I want to meet it. That's what you do. So don't wait to be asked. Go ask, can I help? It's the simple little phrase that you hear when you go into a restaurant, you sit down at a table and you're waiting to be served. It's, can I help you? Just use those four words with the team around you, the people you know they're an authority. And sometimes they might say to you, well, hey, I've already got somebody doing that. Thank you, you know, for the asking, but we've got somebody over there. You might have three or four things. Well, can I go do this? I just want to help today. When you show up like that, I promise you, followers began to gather around a person who shows initiative and ambition and is ready to find a need and meet it.
So we hope today this first thought just sets someone free, and the person that's listening, that you are feeling prompted in your heart to lead, especially in the season that we're all in the local church. There are needs everywhere. Yeah. And I'll bet you could be just the answer your pastor has been looking for and praying for in the season, if you'll raise your hand, which leads us to point number two, which is, I just couldn't wait to get to this point now. And PK, I'm going to set you loose to talk about this for a minute. Our second thought for everyone today, leadership requires a person to transition internally into a leader. Man, I love this. I've heard you talk about this recently. Take us there, and the internal transition into a leader.
Yeah, leadership doesn't happen by going to a leadership event. Let me just start with that. I want to eliminate some of the ideology that all of us have had. I'm going to this event. My pastor registered us and we're going to go to this conference. And as much as I think Team Church Conference is an amazing conference and everybody needs to come, I can tell you that you don't go to leadership events like that. And even if you get a little certification or whatever, it doesn't turn you into a leader. You don't become a leader by that. It only happens, and listen carefully if you would, because I have to get my words right. It's pretty new, fresh for me to talk about it. But leadership only happens when a person transitions from a non-leader to a leader. Okay? That's when leadership is actually born. There's a specific moment. And again, there are people who have titles who haven't made this transition. There are people that are in roles that have not made this transition. So leadership is this thing that happens, and it begins internally when a person makes this transition. And what this transition is that it's a shift into responsibility. Okay, so it takes courage to make this. It's essential. I will just say this about courage. Courage is the number one essential into leadership. It takes courage to lead. And this is like the first step of courage, is when you go in your own mind from being a non-leader to being a leader, meaning you accept not a title, you accept a responsibility. I think the best example is parenting. Parenting requires transition. Can I get any amens? Like, everyone has the capacity to parent, but not everyone wants to parent. So the only people who become good at parenting are the people who transition from the role of a non-parent to a parent. Like, they legitimately transition. And sometimes, honestly, that doesn't happen to us when we are expecting our first baby. It doesn't happen to us. Sometimes it doesn't happen to us when we hear we're going to have a baby. Sometimes it happens the first day we look into our baby's eyes or face. Something weighty, people have talked about something weighty happening at that moment where we go, wow, I am now responsible for another living, breathing human being. But as we all know, many times it doesn't happen then either. There are people who are sperm donors, pardon the frankness, but there are people who are that have never become a father, and they've never really become and what is that? Like, what are we talking about? We're talking about a responsibility from being a non-parent, where you think mainly about yourself, to being a parent, where now you assume responsibility and you become selfless, you become responsible, and something happens inside of you to where you say, with every ounce of my strength and breath in my body, I will not let these people down. I will not let these children down. I am now their parent. When they are hungry, I will feed them. I will clothe them. I will put a roof over their head. I will do everything within my means to make sure that they learn and they grow and that they're healthy in their future. That responsibility, Brandon, is, I think, a most beautiful analogy of what it means to transition into leadership.
It's the right analogy, and it's I think the most convicting analogy I've heard in a long time when I've heard you talk about this. I remember you and I a week or so ago at the time of this recording, we're sitting with a leader, and I'm like you, I'm just on this quest right now to really understand leadership, especially maybe the new face of leadership that we need in the local church. And I asked a leader on the spot, it's someone who's on stage at a church that we were at and all that. And I said, what was the moment where you became a leader? And she actually answered along these lines. She said, it was the day I realized I was responsible for other people. And I remembered thinking, she got it. Yep. It wasn't, and this was someone who sings, is up in front of people, you know, influencing on the platform, you know, all that. And none of that was mentioned. It was about the care of other people. Pastor, you've taught our church for years. The Apostle Paul actually said, you know, that we have many leaders, but few fathers, and I have become your father, even though he did not have children of his own. He literally said, I have become your father. He spoke to a transition there. So
yeah, he talked about teachers actually saying you have many teachers and few fathers. And I really believe that that's a great example, by the way, that goes right along with what we're saying. And I remember I was in the room with you when you asked that question to this young leader, and they answered you that way. Our eyes met and we just celebrated the moment because a person actually answered it without knowing what you were fishing for or asking or having heard any of this talked about. It came straight out of their own sense that I became a leader when I became responsible. It's really beautiful to know how that feels. Now, the flip side is, so we could talk about this analogy a lot because parenting is so fulfilling and parenting is so rewarding. And we love our kids. I mean, we love them so much. And yet it requires such sacrifice. And along with this ride of exhilarating energy that we are, these human beings are in our care, and they're just so cool, and we love them, and we laugh about them, and we get life from them and vitality from them at the same time. There's this intersecting reality that says, when you lay your head on the pillow at night, if I hear them cry, I will be up. It's like there's this awareness that I care with all my heart and I will not let them down. When that happens in leadership, I mean, that's as high as it gets. That's as beautiful. That's the highest level that God's called us to as leaders, is to sense that level of care for people.
Maybe one question I have for you on this point before we keep going is something I hear a bit. I think I've even experienced this myself. When you're talking about bringing others along and you're talking about the responsibility for leadership, I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes it's just easier to do the job yourself. I mean, sometimes it's quicker. Certainly as a parent, you know, if you're working at home right now and your kids are e-learning at home right now, you know, everything takes a long time right now. Like, it's just slow. And in having to train someone else, having to bring them along, having to manage them, sometimes feels like more work than the work itself. But would you just talk to us for a minute, PK, about why it's valuable and why it's important? Because I think that's a hang-up point for a lot of people, is it just takes longer at first to bring others along into leadership with you.
Yeah, I understand completely. And I think it's there's a level of truth in the sense that, you know, I can do something quicker. But what we don't consider is that a lot of times when we're saying, we're really, here's another interpretation of that same attitude, is that I'm better without you. Yeah. And that's the crazy, you know, I can do this myself. Now, there's a story, and I think it's a true story. It happened, I know, in San Francisco. There was a woman who drove over a kind of off the side of a bridge, and her car was hanging, and they were trying to rescue her, and she was so frantic that when the rescue team got down to where she was, these firemen, and you know, they do this as a profession, and they're trying to get her to let go and trust them, that she started telling them to get away from her. And here's what she said. She said, "I can do this myself." You know, I can do this myself. Like, and she clearly could not do it herself. And I think a lot of times in leadership, that's the lie we feed ourselves, is that because we can maybe get this task done sooner, that, you know, we whitewash the whole idea then and don't realize, I can't build this church by myself. Now we've got 25 of us who are leading, but my goodness, we need 50. We need 8 for us to go where God wants us to go. like, I'm not supposed to, I'm not meant to do this alone. So God's sending people, and what my job is to not work alone, but to bring others along with me. And when I do that, I'm actually showing humility. I'm showing that, you know what, I can't do this by myself. No way. I'm lucky to be a part of it. I'm blessed to be a part of it. And I'm thankful I can kind of be in the loop, but let me show you what I'm doing, and maybe you can do it better.
At the risk of being redundant, let me just make this really practical. For the person that's listening today, that's sensing a transition, like they realize up until now, church life has been about me, but I'm realizing it's about who's next. It's about others now. It's about me leading. What would you say practically that person who's hearing this today and listening can and should do moving forward out of this moment?
So what I would say, Brandon, is that going back to what I said earlier about when we were talking under point one, I talked about the two things that you need to do immediately. I think this is a great time to add to this. When it comes to responsibility and the transition from a non-leader to a leader, the idea that you have an opportunity to literally impact not just a person, but to impact a family tree and generations to follow is one of the most motivating thoughts for taking responsibility. So a parent, for example, who might wanna get a little bit like, careless or irresponsible, all they have to do is think a little bit further down and realize, wow, if I don't get this right, I mean, I'm not that I'm perfect, but if I don't put my best foot forward, then what's going to happen to my son? What's going to happen to my daughter? Where are they going to end up? What's their future going to be like? And then what about grandchildren? What about, so you can quickly get back in your space of saying, I'm going to do what I need to do by understanding that what I do today is like a seed going into the soil that's going to bring forth not just an apple, but an apple orchard. Like it really matters. It matters big. And as leaders, I think that understanding, especially young leaders, if you can grasp it, if you can get your head around it, to where you recognize the opportunity you have. We say we're going to change the world. Well, you know what? That's really a fair statement if you're willing to own and take responsibility for where you are right now and to impact as many people as possible through being responsible. You can literally change the world. You can literally one person at a time. And even by changing one family, one individual, you can impact their family and their future. So that would be my advice is don't think in the present, think in the future and sow seed right now as if there's a harvest coming and you don't want it to be a bad one.
Well, Team Church, so glad that you've joined us for the first part of this conversation. Why don't you plan to join us next month as we continue this conversation and unpack it in a bit more of a practical way? I believe it'll help you and your team. Again, hit the subscribe button however you're listening to this today, watching this today. We're going to be back in a month continuing this conversation as well as bonus content along the way. Also, make plans to join us for Team Church Conference this summer. We're so excited to release more information on it soon. The first week of August, live, in person, in Tacoma, as well as online. You're not going to want to miss out on the opportunity to regather with our tribe for a very special conference this year. More information coming soon. Team Church, we love you. Praying for you today. Until next time, God bless you.
This has been the Team Church Podcast with Kevin Gerald. For more information on conferences and events, check out teamchurchconference.com.